This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. Are you a person who enjoys and appreciates your daily routines? Do you go to bed at the same time every night and wake up at the same time every day? Do you have your cup of coffee made at the same time in the same way? Maybe read some scripture or the newspaper, what have you? Do you follow certain patterns or rhythms in your life? Or maybe you're a person who's more spontaneous. Maybe you're a person who takes each day as it comes and doesn't try to plan too far ahead. Whether you are a person of routine or whether you are someone more spontaneous, all of our days are filled with shoulds. All of our days are filled with the things that we know that we should be doing. Spending time with our family and friends, going to work, eating healthy, exercising, all of these things and more might be a part of our shoulds. And the thing about our shoulds that is good is they give us purpose and responsibility. The fact that we have things and people to take care of gives us something to do each and every day. But shoulds can also be somewhat oppressive. They can be a burden on ourselves. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed by all the shoulds in our life, by the many things that we have to do, by the many things that we are responsible for doing. Other times we feel like we should be doing more. We say to ourselves, I should have done a better job, or I should have taken care of more things and more people. Yes, all of these shoulds can be good and can be also a burden to us. But we know as Christians that our shoulds primarily do not come from ourselves, but come from God, specifically the Bible. And these shoulds are not something that we come up with, but that God has given us through the Holy Spirit and through the scriptures. But the thing about these shoulds is, while they are a blessing from God, they have at times been used to beat ourselves and others up. That all of us have experienced situations where we've done it to ourselves or we've seen it someone do it to someone else, where they use the word of God not to liberate someone, but to oppress someone. They use it not to bring someone closer to God, but to bring them farther away from God, which, of course, we know is not the intention of the scriptures or God himself. So the question and topic of today's scripture reading and sermon is this. What are the rules that we are supposed to follow as Christians? And how do we know how to wisely apply them and use them in the way that God intends? You see, in our scripture reading today, we meet someone who is using one of God's shoulds that should be a blessing to his people to be oppressive and harmful to someone else. In our gospel reading today, we are told that Jesus is teaching in a synagogue. And a woman who is simply known as a bent-over woman comes into Jesus to be healed. Now, back in Jesus' day, there was no such thing as a spine surgeon. So if you had some sort of back ailment or condition, you were stuck with it. You lived with it. And this woman, the scripture tells us, had been living with this condition for 18 long years. And when Jesus sees her, he has compassion on her and says, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And this is the part where everybody should cheer, everybody should praise God, because once again, Jesus demonstrates that he is the Messiah, the Savior of the whole world, and that he has compassion for all people who are hurting. But one of the people who in the Bible is sort of a stickler from the rule comes up to him and says, Jesus, you shouldn't have done this. You see, today is the Sabbath. Today is the Sabbath. It is the day of rest, and no work should be done. Now, some of you look at this and say, ah, this is not work, it's just healing. But if you talk to any nurse or first responder or physical therapist or anybody in any sort of healing profession, they will tell you that healing is most certainly work. And so Jesus breaks a rule. Jesus breaks a rule that we find in the scriptures, specifically the Ten Commandments, which says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And this person calls out Jesus based on the letter of the law. Says that, Jesus, you should not have done this. You should not have healed on the Sabbath day. There are 6 other days that this woman could be healed. Tell her to come back tomorrow. In essence, he is saying to Jesus that your office should be closed if you are going to follow the scriptures, if you are going to follow the rules. Jesus points out this man's hypocrisy when he says to him that which of you do not untie your ox or your donkey on the Sabbath day? Which of you do not show compassion and mercy to your animals on the Sabbath? Why wouldn't you do to people the same way? This woman is a woman of Abraham, meaning he's saying this woman is part of your group, part of your faith, part of your tradition, and she has been set free from her ailment. That is what we should be focusing on. So what the scripture reveals to us today is this, is that God loves people more than he loves his rules. God loves people more than he loves his rules. In fact, God does not love his rules. God did not write down all these rules and say, oh, I love these rules. These rules are the best. I love these rules. I want to have a relationship with the rules. No, what God did is he gave the rules, not for himself, but he gave the rules for us. Specifically, his word in the scripture. He gave the commandments, all the ones in the Ten Commandments and all the ones outside of it, for us. But what he wants us to understand is not just what the rules are, but why the rules are important. You see, the what is important, but also the why is important as well. And what is the why behind the rules? Well, at another point in the Gospels, Jesus makes it quite clear. You see, a man comes to him and asks Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Out of all the hundreds of commandments in the Bible, which one is the greatest? And Jesus says that the greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart and our soul and our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And then he goes on to say that if you do these 2 things, you are automatically following all the other commandments. Meaning, loving God and loving others, that is the supreme commandment, and everything else needs to feed in those commandments. Because you see, the truth of the matter is, if we just are about following the rules and that's it, we lose sight of why the rules are important. And I remember one time when I failed in that respect. One of the jobs that I had when I was younger was to be a lifeguard. And I worked at this particular pool long enough where I was eventually promoted to the position of pool manager, where now I was no longer just responsible for my little section of the pool that I was lifeguarding, but at times I was responsible for the whole pool and everything that happened. And what I was responsible for was making sure the rules were followed and making sure everyone was doing their job. And I remember one of the first few days I was the pool manager, I felt really in charge and really important. And one of the pools that we had at this facility was a baby pool. It was a separate gated area with a very small, zero depth pool for very small children. And one of the rules in this pool was, unless you were under 8 years old, you could not go in this pool. And this was a good rule, and I'll tell you why. Because on the days that it was hot, on the days when it was really, really busy, there is a lot of chaos at pools. And kids are not necessarily the best at watching out for other kids. You see, kids sometimes get so excited and get so enthusiastic, they sort of run around and they're not aware of other kids around them. And any parent who has tried to take their small child to a busy pool or a busy water park knows that feeling of anxiety of watching them kind of waddle around and having bigger kids run around them and being worried if they're gonna knock them down in the pool or worse, knock them down on the concrete. And so having this rule where only small children could play in this particular area was good for keeping these kids safe. Well, this particular evening, it was very cold and it just kind of finished raining and there was hardly anyone at this pool. And two kids, a brother and a sister, went to go into this baby pool. And I remember that one of the kids that went out into the baby pool was about 2 years old, and they went out with their older sibling, who was about 10 years old. And immediately I saw what was going on, and I went out and I asked the 10-year-old, "Excuse me, how old are you?" And she said, "Well, I'm 10. And I said, "I'm sorry. The rule says that only children under the age of 8 are permitted to swim in this pool. You're going to have to sit on the side." So she was respectful and she sat on the side and began to watch her brother. And I went back to the main office and I felt really important for enforcing the rule. But then as I was sitting there and I was looking out the window and I could see this older sibling watching their younger sibling play, I began to feel really, really silly. I began to feel really, really silly because I realized that the reason why this rule was in place was to keep small children safe from tons of other bigger kids. But at this point, they were the only two people in the pool. And so I then went out to the 10-year-old and I say, "You know what? I made a mistake. It's fine. In this instance, in this case, it's okay for you to go play with your brother." Big smile went on her face, and out in the pool she went. See, my job as the pool manager was not to simply make sure all the rules were followed to a T. My job as the pool manager was to promote a safe and fun environment. And by enforcing this rule in this case, I was actually failing to accomplish what the mission of the pool was supposed to be. I share this story with you because as Christians, we can often be guilty of the same thing. We can know what the rules are, we can know how to follow them, but we can misuse them and apply them in a way that is not actually helpful to others, but is harmful to others, much in the same way that the Pharisee did in our gospel reading today. Now, what am I saying? That as Christians, we are simply to follow whatever rules we like, that if we don't like a certain rule, we don't have to follow it. If we do like a certain rule, we can follow it. That we can just kind of make up or pick and choose what rules we want to follow on our own? No. The Bible is very clear that all people are sinful and fallen short of the glory of God. And left to our own minds and our own hearts and our own devices to just sort of make things up that we like and we desire, we end up doing harm to ourselves, to one another, and to our relationship with God. That God doesn't want us to pick and choose what rules to follow, but God wants us to know how to use the rules to love him and love other people. See, any teacher or coach or guidance person of any kind, mentor you've had in a certain field, they know what the rules are, but they also know when to bend them and break them. If you grew up studying music, you most likely learned music theory, the rules on how to compose a meaningful piece of music. But you see, the best musicians not only know what the rules are, but know when to step away from the rules to continue to build great music. If you are an athlete and you learn from a coach knows the rules of the game. They know what proper technique is, but they also know when to step away from that to accomplish the goals of their team. You see, God desires for us to have the same heart and the same mind when we look at the rules. I'm reminded by the author and pastor, Anthony DeMello, who once said that obedience knows how to keep the rules, and love knows when to break them. So the question that you might be asking is, how do I know how to apply the rules correctly? How do I know what the Word of God is for and how to use it in my daily life? And the answer is simple. Ask the why of the rule. See, God doesn't make pointless and bad rules. God doesn't just throw commandments in there for no reason at all. There's always a reason. There's always a purpose behind it. So study God's Word, but don't simply know what God's Word is, but know why God has put it there. And again, we know what that why is, to love God and to love others. So may you be an obedient servant of Jesus Christ and the gospel. May you seek to live into not your own expectations or the expectations of others, but the expectations that God has laid out in the scriptures. And in your obedience, may you remember that the word is there to love God and love others. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this reminder of what it means to be a follower of your word, that your word is a blessing and a light on our path. Help us use your word not only to be a blessing to ourselves, but also be a blessing to our relationship with you and one another. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.